This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Friday, March 12, 2021, and we are here live from the Islamic Community Center of Milton. We will continue our class on etiquette, morals, values, and we will continue with the chapter that we're going through, which is Bab Adab al-Kalam, so the etiquettes of speech and speaking, and how we should speak and what we should speak about, what we shouldn't speak about. We covered a few things last week: to say that which is good or remain silent. Al-kalimatu tayyib sadaqah. So saying a good word or saying something nice or positive to someone is considered a sadaqah. So we get rewarded for saying good words. We also learned about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how a sadaqah is due on every single one of our joints every morning that the sun rises. And to say a good word or to help someone in need, someone, you know, needs to go from place to place, or putting their groceries in, or getting onto their mount, their ride, whatever it is, you know, those are all examples of sadaqat that we can do, and also praying those surah duha in the morning. So that's that. We will get right into what we're talking about, or what we plan on learning today, inshallah ta'ala. There was something last week that I had asked you to remind me about at the end of the class, or I'm not sure if it was this class or the fiqh class, but no one reminded me and I didn't mention it, and now I can't remember what it was. So khalas, that's gone. But there is something that I do want to share with everyone today, and I will probably share this at the end of the class. And that's mainly because of two reasons. First of all, we just finished Salat al-Isha here in the masjid, and I know that a lot of brothers and sisters who are praying here will head home and then turn on their live stream and join in. So they're probably going to join in about 10 minutes. And the second reason is because of that, I'm trying to stall and delay a little bit, which is why last week I you know, didn't start at 8 o'clock or closer to 8 o'clock. I delayed a little bit for two reasons. First of all, you know, subhanAllah, Isha finishes and then we got to start the class. But the other reason is, you know, someone caught me, pulled me aside and was asking something, and it was related to Jum'ah and something that took place. So I really had to address that. However, we'll get into our topic, and then at the end, remind me about what I wanted to share with you. And this is something that's important. I put it up on social media earlier today, and I really would like to talk about it with those who are online as well, inshallah ta'ala. So for today, we're going to begin with Fadl qillatul kalam wa karahiyatu kathratu. Fadl qillatul kalam, the benefit, or the, you could say benefit of speaking less. Right, speaking less. وَكَرَاهِيَةُ كَثْرَةُ, and the dislike within Islam to speak a lot. So we mentioned last week the importance of saying good or remaining silent. If we have nothing good to say, then be quiet, right? And also following it up with something that is good. And if we can't and don't know how to, or don't know what to say, then just don't say anything at all. But here we look at how the Prophet ﷺ was blessed with جَوَامِعْ الْكَلِمْ, right, was blessed with the ability to say less, and it had a deep meaning, but also how we are encouraged to say less instead of saying more. So try not to extend what you're saying, or, you know, buy time, like I mentioned, trying to buy time, but I really don't know what to say and I don't want to say too much. The problem with speaking too much is that it leads to sin. It leads to sometimes saying something that we regret, saying something that may not be right, saying something that may not be true, saying something that takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or sometimes even out of Islam. So the more we say things, the more we run the risk of saying something that isn't correct. Now, that doesn't mean that we should not speak, right? That doesn't mean that a person should say, hey, you know what? I run the risk of, you know, saying something that I regret later on, so I just shouldn't say anything. There's always middle grounds, and then there's extremes, right? We try to stay away from the extremes. Let's look at a hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu, where he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has forbidden you, and I'm going to number them with my hand, okay? Allah has forbidden you to be undutiful towards your mothers, to withhold what you should give, or demand what you do not deserve, and to bury your daughters alive. That was, of course, something that was done during the time of Jahiliyyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues in this hadith, and he says, and Allah has disliked that you talk too much about others, you ask too many questions, specifically about the deen in religion, or you waste your property. So three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, four things that are forbidden. Let's go back. Allah has forbidden you to be undutiful towards your mothers. That's the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in this hadith. Now, this is not the part of the hadith that we're looking for as, you know, proof or what is linked to our topic. However, we do know that we at times speak to our parents in a rude fashion or a rude manner, or we treat them sometimes as they get older. You'll notice people will treat their parents in a very authoritative sort of way, like, I know better than you now. You know, you're starting to become a child, or you are being childish. So I'll speak to you the way I want to speak to you. And sometimes it's very forceful, sometimes it's rude, other times it is arrogant, and sometimes it's all of that altogether. That's something we need to be very careful of. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically mentions that Allah has forbidden you to be undutiful towards your mothers, towards the mother first, right? And in this hadith, only the mother is mentioned. Why the mother? Well, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, the importance of the mother, and then the mother, and the mother, and then the father. So he mentions the mother, the mother, the mother three times, showing us that the level of the mother is higher than the level of honor and respect that the father is deserving of. That does not mean that the father is not deserving of respect and honor. But what it does mean is that the mother went through certain things in our upbringing and in us coming into this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to try to recognize. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Fahad Taslim. If it's the Fahad Taslim that I was talking to our daughters about this morning, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I don't know if that's you, Fahad. If it is, alhamdulillah. I was talking to our youngest one this morning about the Sira series, right? And we call it the time machine. And she was saying, I want to meet the narrator of that. And I was like, well, do you know Sheikh Sa'd Taslim? It's his brother. SubhanAllah. So if that's you, I don't know if that's you. If it is, Allah yubarak feek. It's been years since we've met. Last time we saw each other was in Medina to Manawara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reminds us, getting back to the hadith, of the importance of being dutiful towards our mothers. Now, the mother, like we said, she's gone through so much in order to, first of all, you know, bring us, before even bringing us into this world. And over lunch, we were talking about this as a family, right? We're talking about childbirth and labor and stuff like that. And I don't know how it came up, but I remember our daughter saying something, and I was like, Alhamdulillah, I'm not a woman, because I don't think I could go through that. I do not honestly think that I could go through, you know, delivering a child. It's just something that is so honorable, so amazing, so beautiful, so natural, yet I feel so difficult. And of course it is difficult. No one is taking away from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it is something difficult upon us, and this is why so many things are granted to the mother. For example, you know, she ought to pray for 40 days after the child is born, right? During that time of, you know, recovery from the childbirth. You know, there are exemptions that are given to the mother, right? If she's feeling weak, if she's feeling tired with regards to fasting and Ramadan and so on. There's also exemptions during the time of breastfeeding, right? Feeding the child. So these are all things that we see within our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses as an honor to remind us and to elevate the status of our mothers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah has forbidden us to be undutiful towards our mothers. And when we're talking about kalam or speech, we should make sure that we don't speak in a way that is rude or disrespectful or dishonoring or being harsh towards our mother. Okay? The second thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in this hadith is to withhold what you should give. Okay, if it's time to give and you have, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with the ability to give something, whether it's your wealth in terms of money, or He has given you resources to give to others, to share with people, then give. Do not withhold what you should give. So if someone comes to you and they are in need, and you have, but you refuse to give, that's a time when it is not permitted, right? It's forbidden to withhold when you should give. When you have and you're able to give, and it won't even affect you. SubhanAllah. So remember that that is an important aspect of our deen, looking after others. And a lot of the time we forget about it, right? A lot of the time we forget the importance of giving. Today after Salatul Jum'ah, I believe it was in after the third Jum'ah and the third khutbah, I mentioned to the people as they were leaving on the microphone, I said, donate, donate, donate. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salah, right? When you hear the call for the Jum'ah prayer, idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmil Jum'ah fas'aw ila dhikrillah. Rush, or make sure that you get there on time and early. Prepare yourself in advance to be there for the Jum'ah prayer. فَسْعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ, and leave off sales, business, purchases, etc. The scholars mention the fact that this was something left or to be left off before the Jum'ah prayer. It is an encouragement for us to give after the Jum'ah prayer, to go and buy something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a time in our lives or in our day that we are not to spend from what He's blessed us with. But as soon as we're done that prayer and we leave, then spend on your family or spend on yourself or spend on someone else or spend for the sake of Allah on another person or others or on the house of Allah and the maintenance of the masajid and so on and so forth. So spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you think of it really, how difficult is it to give even 25 cents once a week on a Friday, for example? Yes, I do understand and do acknowledge that it is difficult for some people. But for the most part, it is not difficult to give a little amount. In fact, we all are worried about our wealth diminishing, but sadaqah increases our wealth. And so we should give, trusting and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more, will bless us with more. And so the person who is in need of saving their money should still try to find bits and pieces or little amounts of their wealth that they can give in sadaqah. Why? Because you might go out with your friends and you still are the same person who needs to save that money, but you go out with your friends and, you know, they all buy something, and I know it's COVID, so it is what it is, but hey, it's not COVID everywhere in the world anymore, right? In some places, you can go out with your friends and enjoy a meal or go to a restaurant or something. So you go out and, you know, your friends buy food and whatever, and you're chilling and you're like, ah, you know what, everyone's getting dessert. Let me get dessert too. So you're able to spend the few extra dollars to put in ourselves, even though we might be filled already with food, but we put the extra few dollars in our stomachs anyways. How is it that we're not able to take that amount and give it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should be able to, right? Every now and then, not an excessive amount, but a small amount. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has forbidden you to be undutiful towards your mothers, to withhold what you should give, or demand what you do not deserve. Demand what you do not deserve, right? Don't go and force something from others to be given to you, or request something that isn't your right. Don't demand something that you don't deserve, like, you know, a parking spot on a Jum'ah. Someone comes in and says, do you know who I am? I have this and that. And it's like, okay, alhamdulillah, you are who you are. But, you know, the parking lot is filled with spots and you can park in multiple different places. And the volunteers are asking you to park here in particular, right? So we shouldn't demand more than what we deserve. If something is there waiting for us, alhamdulillah. If someone serves us some food and it's, you know, a decent amount of food and it's sufficient for us, alhamdulillah. Don't demand more and say, hey, I need dessert. Oh, what's this? You invite us to your house, you don't give us dessert. Except in the case that it's a close friend, you know, someone who you're really close to, who you guys joke around or you talk very lightheartedly to each other and no offense will be taken. That's a completely different story, okay? The fourth thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah has forbidden you from doing is to bury your daughters alive. And of course, this is not something that we see being done at our time. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide every single one of us towards what is right and what is true. And but this is something that did take place during the time of Jahiliyyah, as in prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? That was very common. And then this was something that Islam abolished, right? Islam took away from the lives of the people in Arabia at the time. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Allah has disliked that you talk too much about others. Allah has disliked that you talk too much about others, okay? Remember, we said excessive speech eventually leads to something being said that we may regret later on. And the second thing, that you ask too many questions, particularly in the deen, right? لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبَدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ, right? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, go and ask the people of knowledge. But لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبَدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ, right? Don't ask too many questions about things that now when you start to know more, it makes life difficult for you. And this is what we call excessively asking questions about a particular topic. Like, for example, someone saying, but what about this? Okay, but what if I do this? What if I go first? And then that person comes, whoa, you're making life too difficult for yourself. And you're going to find that it now becomes too complex. Go with the flow. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what's halal. You know what's haram. You know what's permitted. You know what's not permitted. Do that. And trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disliked that you waste your property. That we waste our property. And that could be in so many different ways. Like you have clothing, but you're wasting money buying more clothing. Or you have water from the tap, but you choose to just let it flow. And then when someone says, hey, turn the tap off. Well, I'm paying for it anyways. Doesn't matter if you're paying for it, right? People will say, oh, that's israf. You're wasting water. Turn the tap off. And the husband, for example, who's, you know, paying the bill, or the, hopefully it's the husband who's paying the bill. That's why I gave that example, because it's supposed to be the husband. It's his responsibility to pay the bill, or the father. And he says, well, I'm paying for it anyway, so it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah dislikes that you waste your property. You're just wasting what you've been blessed with. And there may come a day or a point in time that you don't have that anymore. So you wasted what you had and what you could have used at a later point in time, but you chose to be arrogant and to spend it and waste it anyways, right? So be careful of wasting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Don't waste your time. You know, don't waste your health, don't waste your wealth, don't waste your deen. And what we mean by that is, like, don't learn something and lose it. Waste time where you could be doing something productive and good. Of course, there's always a time for relaxation. That's important, right? To give our body and mind and soul some time to relax, some time to be free, some time to refresh, some time to reset. right? That's all part of our deen. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, still within the same topic, right? The same topic of speaking less and avoiding speaking too much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, the most beloved among you to me, and the nearest to sit with me on the day of judgment, is the best of you in character." Okay, the first part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Indeed, the most beloved among you to me, and the nearest to sit with me on the day of judgment, is the best of you in character." So be kind, be nice, speak to people gently, try to understand what they're going through, try not to be too harsh, try serve others, try to smile at one another. It's a sadaqah, right? Smile, at-tabassum sadaqah. How many times do we say it? We rarely do it. And you know what? It's really interesting. The fact that we're wearing masks when we go out in public, a lot of the time, people say, we don't know what you look like. We don't know if you're smiling. We don't know if you're angry. But Allah has given us eyes that indicate that for the most part, right? So a person may be wearing a mask, but still the company that they're in knows that this person is smiling. Okay? The people that they're with know that this person is in a good mood, happy, right? So once again, indeed, the most beloved among you to me and the nearest to sit with me on the day of judgment is the best of you in character. Try to be the best you can, always. And when you fail, get up and be better. And when you feel like, you know what, you messed up or you didn't do so well, it's all right. Fix that and move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our situation and knows what we are going through. He continues to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "And indeed, the most disliked among you and the furthest of you sitting from me on the day of judgment are the ones who speak too much of that which is not true and the arrogant." So those that speak too much and their speech is of things that are not true, and also they are arrogant, right? Especially in their speech. So this is a hadith that shows us the ones who want to be closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment and loved by him, right, are those who have the best character. And those who choose to be the furthest from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment and disliked by him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, well, then speak a lot and speak about things that are not true and be arrogant. That's the quickest, or one of the easiest, I should say, not the quickest, but one of the easiest ways to be the furthest from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. None of us wants that. Obviously, every single one of us wants to be the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means someone who has good character is someone who doesn't speak too much, someone who doesn't say things that are not true, and someone who is not arrogant. Okay, so we need to make sure that having good character also means when we are, you know, with people or with a certain group or away from people, that we are still talking about them in a way that doesn't take away from their honor, right? Doesn't take away from their honor. All right, so what is the next part of this chapter that we'll look at? The next part is Al-Hadhru min al-ghiba wa-n-namima. Okay, so a warning about ghiba, which is backbiting, and namima. Okay, and we'll look at these two, insha'Allah ta'ala. In fact, we'll look at three things in particular. First off, shaitan loves to break us up. Shaitan doesn't want us to be together. He wants us to be divided, because united we are strong, divided we are weak, right? United we are able to encourage one another. You'll notice that when there's a congregational prayer, we're praying all together. When the imam finishes Surah Al-Fatiha, all of a sudden, everyone all together says, Ameen. That strength in speech is there, right? You'll hear it, you feel it, you notice it, that all together we're united. And then there's the random odd person after everyone says, Ameen, that random odd person somewhere in the back or somewhere in the corner says, Ameen, or just starts really late after everyone else when they're like, Ameen, and like, Ameen. It's like, what are you doing, right? What is that person doing? They're different from the congregation, and people feel like this person is doing something on their own, naturally, just like that. That's an example of how when we don't do things together, Shaitan is happy, right? He wants to divide us. He wants to split us up, right? And the Sharia shows us the importance of speaking together, the truth, being honest, being trustworthy, right? As we learn from the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it brings the hearts together as well. When we are united upon the deen and we're all traveling towards Jannah, we're following the right path, we're doing the same things, we all are focused towards what is true and what is good and what is right. It helps us to feel good with one another. We are happy as parents, having our children in the company of these types of people, right? People who are like-minded, people who are caring and thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and care about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's important, right? It helps the heart, it soothes the heart, it really makes a person feel good. Wa ihsanu dhann bin nas, right? And it's part of our sharia, our teachings in Islam, to have good thoughts, good feelings, right? Good assumptions. Usually we say an assumption is something that is no good, but to think good, to feel good about others. وَقَوْلُ الْحَقِّ, and to say the truth, وَطِيبُ, and nice things, right? That is what our sharia teaches us. As for shaitan, like we said, wants to break us up and split us up, to divide us, right, to make sure that we're all saying different things and like, oh, I follow this scholar, you follow that scholar, I do this and now you do that, and we're all divided, right? What tanfiru qulub ba'daha min ba'd, and to have this sort of ill feeling and hatred, or you know, grief in our hearts against one another, okay? Wasu'u dhann bin nas, and to assume negatively about each other. Okay, that's what Shaytan wants. وَقَوْلُ الْبَاطِلِ وَخَبِيثُ, and to say that which is not true, false tales, false things, lies, rumors, gossip, spreading that, and to speak with bad language, okay, to say things that isn't good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jabir radiallahu anhuma, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma said, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, Shaytan has despaired of being worshipped by those who engage in prayer in Arabia, but he has hopes of setting them against one another. See, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when it was time for prayer, they came together and nothing could stop them, right? They would pray and prayer was established. أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل, right? إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. So they established their prayers. And so Shaytan, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, knows that he can't stop you in your prayer, but he's going to divide you amongst yourselves, right? Hopes of them going against one another, okay? That would be the destruction of the ummah. So, what is ghiba? Ghiba is backbiting, okay? What is backbiting? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَى, to mention something, that you mention something about your brother or your sister that they would dislike, And of course, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum questioned and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, what if what you're saying is true? إِن كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اغْتَبْتَ. If what you're saying about the person is true, then you have indulged in backbiting. Okay. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ فَقَدْ بَهَتْ. And if what you're saying isn't true, then you've indulged in slander. As in, you have been slandering that person. You've been saying something about them that isn't even true about them, that you know that they wouldn't be happy about in the first place. So the Sahaba were like, yeah, but Ya Rasulullah, what if what we're asking is something that's true about this person? Like, what if our statements about this person are true? Well, that's exactly what backbiting is. That you're saying something about someone that is true, but they would not be happy with it. They would not be happy. They would not be pleased that you're saying that about them. So that's backbiting. Slander is to say something about someone else that they would not be happy with, and what you're saying isn't even true about them. Right? It's not even right. It's not even true. That's even worse. That's slander. Right? Now, what about namima? Namima, as we learned, there's backbiting, there's slander, there's namima. Namima is كلام الناس بعضهم إلى بعض على جهة الإفساد بينهم. It's gossip, telling tales, false tales, right? Or for children, tattletaling, right? You're tattling on your brother, your sister, you're telling your parents, they're not happy with it. Why are you saying that? You shouldn't. Mind your own business. You know, and that's a lot of the time true. Parents will tell their children, you shouldn't say that. Don't say that. Mind your own business, right? Don't share that with anyone. And so gossiping, sitting there, talking, and subhanAllah, you'll notice like gossip, or for those who use that term, gupshup, right, is not permitted. Gossip, to spread rumors, to spread tales, to say things about people, sit there and talk and say, oh, did you hear this about that person? Oh, did you hear that about that person? Oh, did you hear that about that person? Why? Because the majority of what we say and assume of others is not even true, as we learn in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we should stay away from gossiping and saying things about others, spreading rumors and tales that we are especially most of the time not even aware of, don't know of, we don't have the knowledge of, yet people still talk about it. So shaitan is our enemy. And shaitan, as our enemy, لا يريد لنا الخير. He doesn't want goodness for us. Right? لا نشك في ذلك. There's no doubt that shaitan doesn't want goodness for us, right? We all, as believers, know shaitan's role and his position and what he wants and his purpose in life, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely shaitan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. Surely shaitan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. He only invites his followers to become inmates of Jahannam, or Sa'id, which is the blaze, right? The blazing fire. He only invites his followers to become inmates of that blazing fire in Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. With regards to backbiting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujarat, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to backbiting, ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا, and do not backbite one another, right? Do not backbite each other. Would you like, أيحب أحدكم, would you like that one of you eats the flesh of their brother who has died? Right, their dead brother's flesh. And I know, subhanAllah, some of you are like, well, our children are watching. Teach them this. This is how bad it is. You know, none of us would eat the flesh of an animal that we're permitted to eat on its own. If, for example, we're allowed to eat a cow, and someone takes the cow and says, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, sacrifices the cow, but then you take the meat without cooking it, and you just turn it into a burger and start eating out of it. None of us do that. Now we're talking about the animal that's passed away, right? And it was not sacrificed. Would we do it? No, obviously not. That's a level even worse, right? It's not cooked, right? It's not prepared properly. Now this animal wasn't even sacrificed properly. And on top of it, the animal died. Maybe there's some illness or disease or something that, you know, made the animal die. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question in the Quran. Nothing to be shy about, right? We shouldn't like be shy and be like, oh, no, don't teach. No, teach them. Teach your children that we should not do this because it's like eating the flesh of your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister, right? Another Muslim who died. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Obviously, you would not like that. Obviously, we wouldn't like it. So it's like, it's a done deal. None of us would want to do that. So why are we backbiting? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment if you do something that's wrong, right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our repentance and is merciful. Lastly, to conclude, the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة نمام. لا يدخل الجنة نمام. The one who is telling tales will not enter into paradise. And I said lastly, but there's one more hadith that I wanted to take. And I'll just read it out to you, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يا معشر من آمن بلسانه. Oh, community or people, group of people who believed by their tongue and belief did not enter their hearts. Do not backbite Muslims and do not search for their faults. For if anyone searches for their faults, as in searches for the faults of their Muslim brother or sister, Allah will search for their faults, right? For the person who's searching. And if Allah searches for your faults or the faults of anyone, He disgraces them in their house. As in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that within our homes, there will be problems and a mess, and it will be dishonor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us wants that. None of us wants that. Which is why we should stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about. We'll conclude there for today, insha'Allah ta'ala. It is March 12, 2021. I'll open it up for some questions, insha'Allah ta'ala. Let's see if there's anything written here. From homes, how we interact with our co-workers. Most of it is gossip. When we filter it, being home is teaching how not to talk more than needed. Yeah, subhanAllah, sometimes just being at home can be a blessing, and at other times it can be punishment or something that is negative, like a fitna. Example given for backbiting person, dead brothers, is similar to the extreme example given to the person asking permission for, they're both similar sin. Great. Okay, so every sin is different than the other. Okay, every sin is different than the other. We cannot just put two together and say, oh, they're the same, because one has a punishment and the other one has another kind of punishment. Okay. Let me just scroll through here and see if there's anything. I remember seeing something. So is saying the truth that they wouldn't like in front of them a sin? Okay, no. So if you're saying something to them, okay, you're telling something to a person about them, and what you're saying to them is true about them, but you're saying it to them, then that is not considered a sin. that would be considered advice if you are saying it in a way that you are advising them. If you're saying it in a way that you are, you know, harming them or accusing them or, you know, getting them worked up, that's a completely different story. But if you are saying it in a way that you are advising them against something, and this is sort of leading into what I mentioned earlier that I wanted to talk about. But yeah, I'll leave it at that, and I'll mention that later, inshallah. If we talked about someone in good manner, it doesn't come in backbiting. So if you talk about them in a good way, then that's most of the time not considered backbiting, as long as the person would not be upset with you or they wouldn't be displeased with you for saying that. Now, there's one thing for someone to say, to feel, you know, I don't really know what the word is that I'm looking for. Like when you say something nice about someone, they feel, oh, why are you talking about me? Don't say that, right? That's different than someone getting upset and saying, why are you saying that? You shouldn't be saying that. Don't tell that to people, right? If they're getting upset, then that could be considered backbiting, right? If they would get upset, they wouldn't be pleased with it. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to say something about someone that they would not be pleased with. Okay? They would not be happy with that, as in they would get upset. So I mentioned earlier, I don't see any more questions. I mentioned earlier that I wanted you to remind me of something. So I'm reminding myself since nobody reminded me. And I don't know if the people who logged in earlier, remember or are still here. So what I wanted to talk about, and I'll briefly go over this inshallah ta'ala, I posted about this online earlier today, this morning. And I was going to read it to you, what I posted, but my phone is being used for live streaming. So what I was talking about was, or what I posted about, was the fact that some people, wherever, whatever community you're in, have the ability or were blessed with the ability to register for Jumu'ah. Okay. And because of a meeting or because of work or something that came up, they opt out of attending Jumu'ah in order to go and do that other thing or attend a meeting. Now, when I posted about this earlier today, I think looking at the comments of the post, I think most of the people completely missed the point of the post, as in the people who commented. They're just frustrated and venting about the fact that they want a Jummah spot and people shouldn't do this and that and whatever. The point of the post is Jumu'ah is fard. Okay, Jumu'ah, attending Jumu'ah is fard. Okay, it is mandatory for the men of this ummah to attend Jumu'ah. Now, if during the pandemic, okay, someone just posted it here. MashaAllah, some people are fast. Here, I'll just put that up there. If some people are not able to register, so they attempted to register, and I remember talking about this with one of the other imams. He says, it's still fard. It is still compulsory for everyone to attempt to register for Jumu'ah. Okay? If, of course, that masjid is doing a registration. If that masjid is not doing a registration and it's just, you know, first come, first serve, then it's still fard, compulsory for them to go and to stand in line and to pray that Jumu'ah prayer. Now, there's a few things added on here. So, like I mentioned in the post, there's a pandemic. So now the numbers of attendees is drastically diminished, right? We're only doing just over 200 people per Jumu'ah prayer, where we used to be able to do, you know, 1,200, 1,300 people at one time. The other issue is a registration. So you may not be able to get, you know, registered for that prayer. If you attempted to register and you couldn't register because all the spots were taken, then pray Dhuhr prayer, right? Or if you're unable to go due to medical reasons, then pray Dhuhr. So we've explained all of that a year ago. What's happened now is people have lost the importance of Jumu'ah. They no longer feel, I'm not saying everyone, I'm talking about a few, but the few is starting to spread because people feel as though I can opt out of attending Jumu'ah and I'll just give my spot to someone else and they will go and attend Jumu'ah. So they feel, oh, as long as someone is going to attend Jumu'ah, that's fine. No, Jumu'ah is not a fard kifaya. It is fard ayn. You must go and pray. And if you were blessed with the ability to register for Jumu'ah, then you should go and pray that Jumu'ah, except that you're absolutely not able to make it. But to say, and I'm saying this because people reach out to me, in fact, they don't even reach out to me initially. What happens is on Thursday nights, when our registration opens up after Maghrib, when people come for Isha prayer or after Isha prayer, they come to me and they say, Daud, you know what, I registered. Can you find someone who can, you know, take these spots because I'm not able to make it. I got a phone call. I got to attend this meeting or I have to go somewhere and do something. No, you got Jumu'ah spots. You go and attend Jumu'ah. It's fard for you. And you got those spots. It's a blessing from Allah. It's an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attend that Jumu'ah. Don't opt out and give it to someone else. You don't have the option to opt out. You do not have the option to opt out. If you've registered for the Jumu'ah, you managed to register for it. And remember, we said, you got to try. You need to make an effort to try and register. If you were able to get it, you need to go. Except that you have a valid Islamic reason that you can't make it. Okay. Other than that, my brothers and my sisters, and this is more particular for the brothers, but also our sisters are feeling this as well. And I know it because they're talking about it and they're mentioning it about their brothers or they're mentioning about their husbands or mentioning it about, you know, people that they live with. They're saying, oh, you know what? I told them it's okay. Give the spot. Let other people go. We'll pray at home. No. They have to try and register to go for Jumu'ah. So what I'm trying to say here, my brothers and sisters, is you cannot opt out of Jumu'ah because you have a meeting or because you need to do something that didn't used to be the case before. And now, because of the pandemic, people have taken a back seat with Jumu'ah. They feel like, oh, I'm in control. I pick and choose when I want to go, when I don't want to go. I got meetings tomorrow, so I'm not going to register for Jumu'ah. I'll go to my meetings and I'll pray the Lord. No, you have to still attempt to make it. And the reason why I'm saying this is that we should still let our employers know, wherever it is that we work, that Jumu'ah is something we must go for as Muslims. And despite being a pandemic, we need that time to pray anyways. Whether I'm going to go and pray in the congregation, in the masjid, or I'm going to pray Dhuhr on my own, or pray Dhuhr as a family, or pray Dhuhr with colleagues at work, or whatever the case is, that you will still have that time for Jumu'ah. And remember, many people, our ancestors here in Canada, people worked really, really, really hard with the government to get the ability or to have the ability as Muslims to pray Jumu'ah and have that time off on Friday. Let's not work backwards. Let's not take away from the efforts of the people of the past to make something better for us. And I'll share this last thing with you. Some of the very first Muslims in Canada, and what I mean by this is the first documented Muslims in Canada, and their children and their grandchildren, some of their descendants have shared with me how Jumu'ah used to take place on Sundays in Canada for the Muslims. Why? Because the only day that they could get off was Sunday. And so the Muslims would gather on a Sunday. And they had to work really, really hard to be able to have Fridays off to pray Jumu'ah prayer. That's one issue. The next thing is that we are entitled to it and we should take full advantage of it as Muslims. And what I mean by taking advantage of it is take advantage of attending the Jumu'ah prayer if you have the ability to do so. And so if you've registered and you are not going, then I'm sorry, shame on you, right? It's a shame that we have the ability to register and don't go and we opt out of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and bring that level of importance back into our hearts about the Jumu'ah prayer, right? It's part of our deen and it's part of our week. And it's from the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something we must do. Let's not take away from it, insha'Allah ta'ala. And like I said, you know, before, this is not because of one or two or three people. This is because week after week after week, for months, I've been seeing this trend very common around me, not only on social media applications, but even in person, people saying, I have meetings or, you know, I got requested to do this or that, or I have to go somewhere, I need to take someone somewhere. And so I want to give away my Jumu'ah spot. You attend your Jumu'ah. And we make other arrangements for that person or whoever else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I said anything that's wrong or incorrect. Forgive me if I offended anybody or upset anybody with this. This is not for any person or group of people. It is not intended for anyone in particular. This is a general advice that I'm giving to everyone. And I will be totally honest with you. I shared this on our Canadian Council of Imams group this morning and told them, Mashaikh, there's a problem that I'm seeing here that has, you know, started because of the registration and the Jumu'ah and the way things are, and we need to make sure that we let our community members know. So this is not something that I'm just sharing as a small thing. I've let the other imams who are all part of the Canadian Council of Imams know that this is a problem we need to fix in our communities. And please do share this message with whoever else you can, inshallah ta'ala. Let's respect and honor Fridays and the Friday prayer that we have as part of our deen in Islam as Muslims. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.